It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time, and we count it our privilege to come into your homes and to spend this half hour with you. If you have your Bibles, and we hope that you do now, that you'll turn with us now to the little book of Jonah as we continue our Bible study here, and we're over here now, and just a second, we'll begin here in chapter 4. As you recall now again, as we give this each week here to help keep you familiar with the very simple outline here of the little book of Jonah here in Jonah chapter 1. He's running away from God, and that pictures the way many of us do. Even after we're Christians, we run from the Lord and fail to do what God wants us to do. And then we find after God's discipline and his chastening that chapter 2 pictures Jonah running to God. And then we find in chapter 3 Jonah running with God, and then in chapter 4 Jonah running ahead of God. So we're over here now to Jonah chapter 4, and we hope that you have your Bibles open here and are ready to follow with us. Now notice here, if you will, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." Now you would wonder at first glance why in the world that Jonah, who had obeyed the commission of God to go unto Nineveh and went there and preached, and the whole city completely turned around. They believed what God had said. They believed his message. You would have thought this man would have been really on top of cloud nine. You would have thought he would have had a great revival and given God the glory for the power of the preaching, the power of the word, and to see such a tremendous victory over the city of Nineveh here, where the leader, the king of the city, and even though they had long oppressed the nation of Israel and they were arch enemies, to see the enemy come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and then turn from their wicked ways and begin to lead the Christian life, you would have thought Jonah would have been exceedingly glad, but instead it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Now, what in the world displeased Jonah? The fact was, he was displeased about Nineveh, about the repentance that it did, and he was displeased about God's mercy upon them. And it shows us something about Jonah that is very characteristic about many, many Christians. You know, there are so many victories around us, and even sometimes we have a part of it, but yet it seems like we are still depressed. And what in the world did Jonah have to be angry about? Well, when you stop to realize it was the condition that Jonah was in, it was his spiritual relationship with the Lord, and there would not have been anything that could have pleased Jonah until he got his own spiritual life straightened out the way that it should be. Now you say, well, I thought he obeyed God and went to Nineveh and preached. He did. He did, but no doubt with resentment, no doubt hoping that they would not repent. He had animosity within him toward the arch enemies of the nation of Israel. Nineveh was Assyria, and they did not like Israel at all. They were an oppression to them. And he had such hatred toward this nation that he did not have any joy whatsoever. He obeyed God, but he did it because he knew God wanted him to, but he didn't do it with the expectation of knowing that God was going to change that city and they would put their trust in Christ. Do you know something? There are many Christians today that just gloat when they see someone they dislike get into a lot of trouble, or they see another Christian who maybe because of a personality conflict or whatever it might be, that they really are just inside, they're just almost clapping their hands when they see that Christian get into trouble, or things do not go right for them, or it seems as though God's blessings are not upon them. That Christian just almost delights on the inside, and you say, well, I wonder why. Because you know what? There's jealousy there. There's envy there. There's animosity there. And you know, it's very hard. I remember hearing this in Bible college, and I guess it can hold true not only with pastors, but also it can hold true with individual Christians, and I'm sure it does. I remember a professor saying one time, he said, the hardest thing in the world you'll ever find to do is to compliment someone else's ministry. And you know, you see that when you get out into the ministry. I've never seen such jealousy as far as pastors is concerned. And you say, what do you mean? Well, you get out and it seems like it's pretty hard for someone else to say or compliment another church, or and sometimes you get the idea that their church is the only church. And what that is, it's really, in a way, it's just animosity on the inside with just exalting self, thinking there's no one else doing the job. Now, I know this, and we say this, that you know, when you come to Faith Baptist Church, we believe we have one of the friendliest churches that you'll find anywhere. And the Bible is our textbook. We preach that and teach that unreservedly. But you know what? We're not the only church. And you know what? There are churches. There are good Bible-teaching churches. Now, they're not in abundance all around, but there are good churches that we compliment, and we thank God for their ministry. We most assuredly do, because there should be no kind of jealousy like that, no kind of resentment. Now, we take a stand against those who do not stand on the Word of God, and we believe that's our responsibility as far as the individual, that we should rebuke them sharply. They should be sound in the faith. The people should know some of the deceiving things that some churches and pastors are pulling and doing. But on the other hand, there are good pastors and there are good churches. And we compliment them, pray for them, that God bless their ministry, and that's the way it should be as far as pastors is concerned, as far as churches are concerned. But now it comes down to the individual. What is your attitude when you see another Christian maybe exalted, or they get praise, or you see things happening good to them? Are you glad, or do you have some deep-seated jealousy within you that is really going to cause you to be in a depressed state? You know what? You're not always on the mountaintop 100% of the time in your Christian life. You have trials and testings to go through, and there are times when maybe you're going through a testing, and you know what? You have to grow and be grown enough as a Christian now to realize that maybe the person who is on the mountaintop that you're looking at, you should not have jealousy toward that person. You ought to praise God knowing this, knowing that person isn't going to stay up there all the time. They've got trials and testings to go through. And realizing that you have grown enough as a Christian that when you see that person and the blessings of God's are there and they're getting some of the fruit of their labors, that you can pray for them even though you're going through trials and testings, knowing this. Isn't it great to have that person pray for you when you're in some of your severe testings and things don't seem to go right for you and everything you do just seems to go sour? Isn't it good to have Christians and that love you and are not just exalting themselves but are humbling themselves and want to exalt you and help you and try to encourage you in your Christian life? Well, sure. And that's exactly what God wants you to do to the other person. But here we find out Jonah, after he'd had a great victory here, obeyed the Lord, no doubt, just because of commandment, but not because his heart was really in it, and not because he really had compassion upon Nineveh. He no doubt had some deep-seated resentment and against this city and the wickedness of it, and he didn't really want God to change him. But yet he went ahead and preached the message anyway. Now, when you see a man or a Christian in that kind of situation, there are usually reasons for it. We find out, first of all, he had disobeyed the Lord, so he wasn't really in the best of fellowship when he went. He had no confidence in God's word, really. And even if the city repented, he had so much resentment in him that he would not accept that. He didn't want to see that. He would rather see them punished because he had that kind of resentment against them. And you know what? I'm going to say this to you as a Christian now that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. One of the things that will ruin your life, and you know what it is? It's not so much sometimes the open sins that are done. Yes, that will do it too. But you know what? It's the little hidden sins that you have. You may be a choir member. You may be on a deacon board. You may be a good member working in the church. But if you have resentment toward someone else, it'll eventually eat you up. It'll eventually get you. It'll eventually erupt out of you at a time when you least expect it. It'll come. It'll erupt out of you. And you know what? It'll keep eating at you. You'll keep thinking about that when you're at work or on the job. And pretty soon that'll fester and fester and fester. And pretty soon you can hardly stand to even be around that other Christian. And you know what the problem is? Because you've not asked God to help you with that problem. You've not asked God to take it away from you. And I tell you this, you will lose your effectiveness as a Christian eventually. And it will get to you. You will not be a happy Christian. The only way you can be a happy Christian is we're going to find, like Jonah, later on and see what he did here and see that some of these things did not work. But anyway, we find out it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry, and he should not have been. And then he said he prayed on the Lord, and he said, now we're going to find out the reason. He said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish. Now we're going to find out the reason why Jonah fled. He said, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of this evil. He said, dear Lord, I know that if they believe my message and they turn to you, that you will forgive them. That's the reason. I didn't even want to go. That was Jonah's attitude. because he would have been so jealous if he seen that whole city turn around, because he had seen his own people. And some of them were not even coming to the Lord, and they were rebelling. And yet he didn't want this heathenistic nation to be saved, and this is the reason that he didn't go, and we find it out. But we find out also that God already knew that. It was just a matter of Jonah confessing it to the Lord and being honest with the Lord, but God knew it all the time, for he knows everything. In Hebrews 4:12, he says, my eyes are open, and everything is naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now in verse 3 he says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Do you know what? This is the reason many times that a Christian can even commit suicide. Now, suicide is not the unpardonable sin, and if a Christian commits suicide, they will still go to heaven. But they can get in such a depressed state because of their mental attitude and their relationship with the Lord and their resentment of other people and their jealousy that they have, they can actually cause themselves and get themselves in such a state of depression that, you know what, they lose all confidence in the Lord. And pretty soon they begin to accuse other Christians, and they get mad and they get angry, and they begin picking at this and picking at that, when the whole problem is their relationship between the Lord. Pretty soon the message is the pastor, they'll sit in church and almost just hate the pastor, because what they realize is they're resenting is the conviction of God's Word. Their life is not in harmony with the teaching of the Word of God. They will not submit to the Lord's will. They're filled full of jealousy. Wonder, why is this person prospering? Why is that one? And yet they're not doing what they should do, or they would prosper. And yet this kind of thing can creep into a Christian's life, and if it's not dealt with, and how do you deal with it, Pastor? Well, here's the way you deal with it. First of all, we find out in Jonah's life he wasn't reading the Bible. He wasn't fellowshipping with other Christians. He did not have a prayer life. And when you put those three things into perspective here and want God's will, you begin to realize that God will bless you, and you'll be a happy Christian, and you can rejoice when you see another Christian that's prospering and God exalting them. Now let's take a few scriptures. In fact, I'd like to go to one place here that I believe ties in, that we hear about but never, very seldom ever hear a message on this, and I'd like for you, if you will, to go to Luke chapter 15. Most of you listening this morning, you've always heard about the prodigal son, and there are probably multiplicity of sermons that have been preached, thousands upon thousands, on the prodigal son. But the one sermon you very seldom ever hear anything about is the brother of the prodigal son. His attitude was absolutely debunked, and we're going to see this. We all rejoice the prodigal son come home. Now, in Luke chapter 15, we hope you have your Bibles and you're over there a minute, because it's the same situation that Jonah was in here. And it's the same situation maybe you're in. Maybe you're in a depressed state. Doesn't matter how many people are being saved in your church. Doesn't matter how many people are trusting Christ as Savior. You're not happy. You resent that, because maybe more attention is being given to that area than something else. Then I want to give you an illustration that happened at a former pastorate where we were pastoring at. In Luke chapter 15, we find out over here that the prodigal son was the one who we're applying him to being saved now, and then he left to sow his wild oats, and finally when he came to the end of the line, he had lost everything. And then we pick the story up down here in verse 25, and it says, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard musket and dancing, and he called one of the servants, and he asked, what in the world are these? And notice in verse 24, for this my son was dead, he is alive again, he was lost, now he's found, begin to make merry. And the father, represented here by the Lord, the man's son, or the man's father, and he was happy to have, just like God's happy to have you come back to him when you've wandered away and to come home. But then we find out here, the brother, his eldest son, was in the field. Find out he was the brother of the prodigal son. He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Here he was angry, just like Jonah. He was jealous because his brother had come home. He was jealous because there was too much attention paid to his brother and not to him. And you know something, sometimes in Christian service, and I might say this because if you're listening, I'm sure that somewhere along the line it will fit your situation. Do you ever feel like you served the Lord and no one ever patted you on the back and you just really didn't get the recognition that you received? Well, let me tell you something. You're among every Christian worker, because there's not a Christian worker who has not felt that way sometime or another. I'm sure there's not a pastor who's not felt that he studied hours upon hours to prepare a good message for Sunday morning and wanted to be God's will and do the very best he can to deliver that message. And no one ever say a word, but I really enjoyed that, pastor, and there are parts of that that really touched me. I'm sure every pastor has experienced that. And yet, not only the pastor, but the Christian workers. And I'm sure that if you've worked in a church, you may have been on the building committee. You may have done some labor around the church and built some nice things and really helped out, and it just seemed like it was all in vain because nobody really said, you know, what a nice job you've done. Now, there are times when people do that and compliment you, and that's great, and they should. But in every Christian's life, there are times when you're going to work for the Lord and it seems like nobody really appreciates what you're doing. But you know what, folks? As a Christian, you realize that that happens to all of us, and you also realize that, you know, that we're doing it for the Lord and for His glory, and God does appreciate it, and it isn't always going to remain that way. There are people that notice what you do, and maybe it's just a time when maybe you're sort of downhearted, things aren't really going right, and you can get in a depressed condition. But you know what? Just looking up and praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know what? I'm doing this for you. And you know what? I'm glad to see other Christians that you're blessing. And you find out that when you do that and you'll put somebody else and lift them up, that God will exalt you in due time. And that's exactly what the Scripture teaches. But now we find this man jealous because his brother came home and was getting all the attention. And he, answering, said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meant that thou should be made merry and be glad, and this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, was lost, and now is fine. He should have had the attitude that, you know, I'm so glad that my brother is back home now. I'm so glad that he has found the Lord. I'm so glad that he's now serving the Lord. But his whole attitude was filled with jealousy. He was jealous of his brother. And I'll tell you this, folks, it'll sink you and take you right out of God's service. It'll get you disgruntled. It'll get you griping and complaining. Your right attitude with the Lord and your right attitude realizing that when you exalt other people, God will exalt you in due time. Let me give you an illustration, if I may. You know, you're not going to always receive all the attention in God's service. I don't care what avenue that you're in. But you know, I remember pastoring a church in southern Ohio. And while there was a lady there that who had been praying for her husband. And anyway, she was a good friend of one of the deacons in our church. And we had went down several times. Finally, I went down again and found the man at home. And he was re-bricking the front of his home. And anyway, I asked him if he had time for a coffee break. And we went in and sit down. And he just did not like preachers. And we sat there for a little bit. And anyway, I began to talk to him and told him, I said, you know, you don't even have to go to church to have eternal life. And he said, boy, I never heard that before. He said, I always thought you had to do this, do that. I said, well, I'm not here to pressure you or anything else. I just want to tell you that God loved you and he sent his son for you to pay for your sins. And if you'll simply believe that. And he said, well, I don't know if the Bible's true or not. And I said, well, until you find a mistake in it, why not accept it? And then when you find the mistake, you can go ahead and burn it if you want to. It won't amount to anything anyway. But there are no mistakes. So there's a pretty good chance that this verse in John 3:16 is true. And he said, well, that sort of makes sense. And I said, look, John, his name was John. I said, you don't have to do a thing, just receive Christ. And he did, right there at the table. He never even closed his eyes, never bowed his head. You know what? Next Sunday, John was in church. Now, this lady had gotten all the sympathy, and everybody was feeling sorry for her because she was so hard for her to go to church, sing in the choir and everything like that. And she had all the sympathy in the world. Everybody was just over praying for you and one thing or another. Then her husband trusted Christ, and he began to come. And he came Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We baptized him. We were building a youth building out there then. He came out there on his days off, and he would work all day. And you know what happened? The saddest thing in the world. This lady became just like Jonah, came just like the brother of the prodigal son. All of the attention began to shift from her to her husband. And he began to have the fellowship and excited. He began to come to Sunday school and church, then Sunday night, and then Wednesday night. And you know what? She began to drop off. Pretty soon she was getting sick. She couldn't come. And I remember him telling me, he said, Pastor, you know what? He said, the relationship between my wife and he said, she wanted to serve the Lord and everything when I wasn't. Now, I'm really excited reading my Bible, witnessing to people, passing out tracts. And he said, you know what? She is really dragging me back. And you know what the problem was, folks? She had all the attention and all the sympathy and all the feeling sorry for her, and she loved that. Then when her husband got saved and he began to work for the Lord, all the attention shifted. And she wasn't a strong enough Christian to realize that she should have been supportive of her husband and to realize the blessings that were really there. And the saddest thing in the world was, it wasn't but about a year and a half, and she took him right out of church. I remember him telling me, he said, Pastor, the pressure is too great. He said, she just gripes and complains. She quit the choir. She did this. You know what? Her whole motives and her whole attitude, she loved the admiration of men. She loved the attention. And you know what? Her relationship with Christ was not right. It's a sad situation. But you know what? It can happen to you. But I want to tell you this. There are great things out there for you as a Christian. The most important thing in all the world, and I see our time's going here this morning, we're going to have to stop. But the most important thing here, we'll pick this up and see the meaning of the gourd and the plant and the things are there in Jonah here and apply these. They have a very definite application. But the most important thing is, do you know that you have eternal life when you die? You know, we just left last night, went over to Cleveland, led a man who's an alcoholic to the Lord. Fantastic. And just took John 3:16. He said, and he was ready to commit suicide. Do you know that? Just suicide. Now, we're making the broadcast now. That was Friday night that we went over there and led this man to the Lord. And what a tremendous victory. What a tremendous... He was just waiting. He said, there's nothing out there for me, but there is. And we showed him where God has a lot of things in life for him out there. He can quit his drinking, and he doesn't have to be an alcoholic anymore. He received Christ happy as can be. Get him started in a good church. Get him fellowship with the right kind of people. It'd be a tremendous help, and he can be used. He's not a very old man, about 40, 42 years old. And yet he couldn't see anything good in life for him, but now he can. And the same situation may be with you. I hope you'll put your trust in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, he said, I've come, you might have life and have it abundantly. There's a whole life and a whole life of living out there for you. Built on the foundation of Christ. The first place to start is, no, you're going to heaven when you die, and if you'll put your trust in Christ, you'll never perish but have everlasting life. It's been so good to be with you again this Sunday morning.